commercial success arrived only a few years ago for award-winning singer-songwriter Jen Kloer. But these days, if the Melbourne-based artist is not busy making her own music or touring overseas, she's producing albums via her independent label Milk or mentoring emerging artists. This summer, Jen Kloer will be playing gigs across Australia, including tomorrow at the Woodford Folk Festival in Queensland. But first, she stopped by the breakfast studio and I spoke with her earlier.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your self-titled album has been an incredible success, and it came out, of course, in 2017, and since then you've been touring both here and overseas. Looking back, maybe, say, 5 years ago, would you have expected to be playing sold-out gigs in the US?
Absolutely not, no. I think to put it into perspective, a lot of work happened over the last 5 years to see me playing those shows in the States. I run a record label here in Melbourne with Courtney Barnett called Milk Records, and that's certainly seen my profile perhaps boosted and you know, travelling across to other countries. And, you know, I guess, you know, I've put out a few records and there's just been a nice kind of slow building momentum so that, you know, when I did go over and play some shows there last year and this year, it felt really worthwhile.
In fact, it's been 13 years since your debut album. Jen Kloer is your fourth. It actually debuted at number 5 on the ARIA charts. How did you feel about becoming such a huge commercial success at this stage of your career?
Well, look, I appreciate that number 5 on the ARIA charts might feel like a huge commercial success. I wish the reality was reflected in my bank account. But I guess more than anything, it's just a great feeling to be deep into a career, you know, 15 years of recording and releasing and touring and being very active in the music community as well in all sorts of ways. I think that to be acknowledged and celebrated and discovered, you know, the deeper you go into your career is something that, you know, everyone wants. You know, often it's the other way around, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of excitement at the beginning and then, you know, it sort of slowly fades away. So I'm a bit of a late bloomer, but I'm very happy for that.
In this album, you open up a lot. There's a lot of honesty in it and you explore things like love and envy and sexual identity. And it's this sort of unfiltered look at your life that's received rave reviews. What inspired this album?
I think more than anything, I really challenged myself with this record to be as lyrically honest as I could. And, you know, you can sort of, the word honest can sometimes feel a bit, I don't know, trite. But I think when I say that, I just needed to know that every, you know, sentence that I was writing meant something to me, that I wasn't hiding, that I was really challenging myself to I guess, share the human experience, you know. And not everyone has to do that and not every album has to do that. But I think I was just in a place in my life where I felt like we need to connect and we need to hear ourselves in others and we need to identify and feel like we're in community or that we're not alone. And so the album really came from a place of wanting to, I guess, let people know that, you know, we're more similar than we are different.
And is that the sense that you got from your audiences travelling abroad?
Absolutely. It was a great experience for me because, to put it into some context, I had never played, I mean, I've travelled around the world, you know, for many years, but I'd never played a show outside of Australia or New Zealand until September last year. And so it had always been something that I wanted to do just to experience being in another country in front of a different audience. And the wonderful thing that I got to see was that whether I was in the States or Europe or the UK, is that people have very similar responses and that a lot of people were coming up and talking to me after the show. They were expressing really similar things. So it gave me a lot of hope. I think primarily that music and the arts are so important and that we need them, that every culture needs to be reflected back through, artistic expression, but also to just see that there's a lot of unity out there. As much as we're often told there's division, there's actually a lot of unity as well.
I mean, globalism gets a bad name, but in a way it's a global message that you're sharing.
Yeah, and it's a global community these days. And I think one of the great things that's changed with music is digital technology has made it much easier for us to connect. You know, you can have a niche reach or a niche market, but now it can be all around the world. And I think that's a significant change where Australian artists, I think in the past, had felt very kind of tethered to this country and the long distance that you have to travel to be heard. It's very expensive. You can now discover an artist all the way over the other side of the country, other side of the world. And I think that's really been a great thing for artists who want to get out and tour and have, I guess, a music career.
In fact, you're busy helping emerging Australian artists launch their careers. You hold these workshops called I Manage Music. What is it that you first tell a room full of frustrated musicians wanting to make that big break in their career? What is it? What advice do you give them?
I guess the great thing is, having been around the traps for a while and worked with a lot of artists, released music by other bands and artists, and to trust that I have a level of experience. I know a lot of musicians and songwriters and performers in the Australian music community, is just to let them know that you'll probably always need to do something else. I think everyone has this fantasy that they're going to become really famous and get a manager and then they'll never, ever have to work another job again in their life. And I just encourage them to maybe put that dream aside or to not be frustrated if it doesn't manifest, because in reality, about 5% of Australian artists live in that lovely idea of making their living exclusively from their art. But I think more than anything is like just changing the way that we look at this all or nothing approach to a creative career, that you can have a creative career that's entirely valid without it needing to be your sole source of income. And when you can take that pressure off people, I think they can just relax more into the balance of life.
And do you think that that can also assist with the creative process, taking that pressure off?
Absolutely. I think that, it doesn't help. I don't think that pressure really helps anyone. Generally speaking, the more relaxed and centred you can be in anything that you do, you're more available to the moment and to being spontaneous and creative. So I think, it's certainly helped me to just kind of, let go of that idea that it had to be all or nothing, and if I'm not making this much money a year, then I have to give it away. I mean, if that were the case, half of the albums that are any good wouldn't be heard, wouldn't be released. We just have really boring art out there.
Now, you're going to perform one of the songs from your most recent album, Jen Kloa. It's called Regional Echo. Can you tell us what that's about?
It's sort of the poetry or the lyric in this song is nostalgic to some extent, and just the idea of growing up in the heat of the suburbs, and I guess I don't want to sort of tell people what the song might end up meaning to them, but it's an observation around how in Australia we're often not encouraged to dream big, that there is a bit of a sort of tall poppy syndrome, and if we do get too big for our boots, we're sort of told very quickly that we need to pull our heads in. And, the clip to this song is really special. My bass player, Bones Sloan, grew up in Goulburn, and so we went back to his hometown and we filmed him walking and skating. He's a great skateboarder, skating around the streets of Goulburn. And even though it's a really simple idea, it was something very evocative. And I think a lot of my friends who perhaps grew up in regional areas or in the burbs really related to both the song and the accompanying clip.
It's certainly a compelling clip. Let's hear the song.
Noisy miners bully the suburbs out beyond the haze. Seaside holiday houses lay quiet as a grave. Tombs of dreams past, wealth gone to waste. The Australian dream is fading, stolen anyway. And I'm never gonna lose my head to a setting sun. I'm never gonna dream of things that just can't be done. Expected of me. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. I'm barefoot, so you hop and skip. Prawns in wheelie bins marinate, a cocktail of stink. Bats weighing on the power line. Wings open, surrender. This is how you die. And I'm never gonna lose my head to a certain song. I'm never gonna dream my things that just can't be done. Expected of me.
That's Jen Clower performing Regional Echo. Jen, thank you so much for coming in today, and have a great summer festival season.
I will. Thanks so much.